Everyone's asleep. Everyone but me. And I can't help feel like I'm doing this all by myself.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on American Freedom Radio. And my very special guest is John Lebang. It's French for dynamite.
That's
John,
right.
Welcome to the program.
Greetings from the People's Republic of Michigan.
The People's Republic of Michigan?
Yeah.
Have they already been sold out to the Chinese due to the economic crisis? Is that what you're getting at?
Definitely.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Yep. I'm telling you, when I'm sitting here, I'm watching the game between Putin and Obama here. Do you see the recent news here? Well, I guess
somebody needs to get them like some badminton rackets and a shuttlecock. You know, they could duke it out.
Something like that. This is just getting ridiculous. So, what's going on there in New Zealand?
Well, you know, same thing that's going in every little island chain nation. It's where Fukushima irradiated, and we're controlled by a ruthless criminal bankster elite.
Oh,
not entirely dissimilar to yourself.
Hey, that's wonderful. We just love it out here the same way.
It's these things that bind us together, you know?
Right. It's the way of the world, we'll just say.
Yeah. I mean, we're all Fukushima now. And I would love you to give a bit of a background about yourself. John, you've got a radio show and everything, don't you?
Yes, I've got a radio show. Is it okay to say what station I'm on and all that?
Yeah, don't feel off,
okay.
Mate.
I'm on at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Raw Radio X. It's the John Lebang Show, and it's comedy and fun and serious garbage that's going on around the world. And see the background. Been a musician most of my life. Played and done albums and all that. Did the little touring thing and decided now that I'm an older guy and you can't really be the Justin Biebers of the world anymore. So I just figured I'd get into radio and do my thing here and complain about all the wonderful things going on in Washington, D.C. and the rest of the world.
Well, I must say for my part, I'm glad you didn't become the next Justin Bieber.
Right. I'm not quite as pretty. What can I say?
Yeah. Well, at least you don't spit on people from a balcony.
No, that's kind of gross, really. You know, we don't want to do that.
Well, you know, I was just thinking about this as well. You know, like young musicians, you know, the Britney Spears and the Justin Biebers and the Miley Cyrus and all of that. They take what the music business does. It's not about music. It's about business, first of all. But what it does is it takes innocence, talent, and generally a nice person, and it turns them into this kind of almost like a demon spawn. I don't know how to describe it.
another Illuminati industry out there, really. So you're going to get the demon spawns. Look at Miley Cyrus. She went from this pretty little girl to whatever you want to call it now. I mean, she's scary.
She went from Hannah Montana to a dominatrix in less than 3 years, was it?
Yeah, I mean, with the tongue thing, I don't know, whatever she was doing and shaking her butt, and I don't know what's going on with that. Where's her parents in all this?
I don't know. Billy Ray Cyrus has probably got a broken heart right now, an achy broken heart.
Right? Does he even talk to her anymore? I mean, come on, Dad, what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, Dad, I'm turning into a super slut coke whore over here. You know, give me some pointers.
But it's all worth the money. It's just all worth the money. You know, you just want to be famous and make millions of dollars, and it's all worth the money. What can I say?
And I want to grind on penis on stage. And what we also were talking about the other day is that the music industry is so saturated now that there's no longer any super bands. Have you noticed that? There's band that everybody knows, kind of thing.
Well, that's why Black Sabbath had to come out of retirement pretty much and come out and put a great album out. I don't know if you've heard of it, the 13 album, but I mean, it's the best album I've heard in years. And you had to bring the old guys back to do it because, well, the new artists aren't worth much. If you have a chance, it says that the people in the music industry really stink and they don't know what good music is and they feed it to the rest of us. And I guess the masses enjoy that dum top dum dum stuff and oh baby shake my butt stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. It's like every song's about love, sex, or drugs, you know. And I mean, occasionally you'll get somebody like Norah Jones who comes out, and that's really nice. It's beautiful. It's jazzy, and so on and so forth. But sure, few and far between. And I was just thinking, a bunch of friends of mine have been going to New Zealand gigs, and they are astounded, just absolutely astounded. These no name, nothing bands who have incredible music, right? Great singers and stuff like that. They ain't ever going to get on the charts. They ain't ever going to get no producer or anything like that. Nobody cares about good music anymore. And the least of all, the promoters and the record company execs.
Well, it's the entire entertainment field, I think. I mean, you get Dancing with the Stars and all that on regular television. It's just junk. Everything's junk. And, well, you know, it's to keep us dumbed down or something. I don't know. You know, that with the fluoride in the water and everything else, you know.
We truly live in the golden age of television.
Yes. And I come from the Motor City here, and we had, you know, Motown and stuff. We had great music come out of here. And there are a lot of good bands out here. But like you said, you're never going to hear about them ever. Never. Mm. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think it's something like there's this cryptic industry that's now starting up with the internet, I think. And the advent of the internet is the antithesis to the music industry, don't you think? Because now bands don't need a promoter or a record company or anything. They can just publish their albums online.
Yep, it's a lot different. When I was doing it, I mean, you put flyers out and you make a cassette and you go out and try to do something for yourself to try to get a record company to get it to buy into you. Well, nowadays, like you said, get a Reverb Nation, SoundCloud, you start promoting your stuff across the world, which is great. And, you know, maybe some bands will do something. I mean, I guess that's how we got Justin Bieber, didn't we? In a way, though?
Yeah.
Oh, boy, maybe it's not so good.
Yeah, hey, well, you know, every new beginning comes from some other beginnings, then said the band Semisonic. And moving on from music itself, because we've got a mind control thing. And I was just talking to a listener of mine last night. He met me at a protest for the first time a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about trying to wake people up. And when you go to somebody and they start instantly, you know how you get that sort of recoil that I'm brainwashed and I'm going to get angry at you because you're a conspiracy theorist kind of thing. Right. Yeah, it's really hard to wake people up like that. Apparently, it takes about seven different people to tell you the same thing. before you'll actually get it. And it has to be seven different people. Like, you can't just be one person saying it seven times to the one person for them to get it. And for those who are brainwashed, I say just play your part as one of the seven, throw in an information grenade, and then later on it'll...
Hopefully it wakes them up. But you can point out chemtrails. Like the other day, we had chemtrails all over the sky, and I'm pointing them out to people, and they're like, huh? Huh? That's got to be natural, right? You know? how old are you? Did you see these things when you were growing up? I mean, when I was 12, 14 years old, we had beautiful skies. They were clear, or we had the nice puffy clouds, but we never had lines all through the sky making X's and everything. You know, you even get the nice Illuminati triangles in the sky. I think they're trying to send us a message. I don't know. Who knows?
Nobody's got freaking memory anymore. Have you noticed that?
Yeah. Yeah. And, well, you know, what are you going to do? They've been brainwashing us for, what, 50, 60 years, maybe? Even longer than that? How long's television been around?
Doing a fracking good job at any rate.
Right? Oh, sure. Yeah, I mean, and I don't know about you, but even I was asleep for a little while. I mean, each one of us comes out and we wake up eventually, or we hope each one of us do. I mean, we're still a minority, like a major minority. We're not, you know, it's not 50%. It's not 20%. I bet you we got 10% of us that are waking up. Maybe. What do you think? Is it that high?
I don't know, and I'm not sure if it matters because what we're trying to accomplish, you know, as a people who are aware of the truth, is trying to overthrow and expose the system, more or less, and restore freedom and liberty, get rid of the false taxation, get rid of the evil medical system. Dig this, man. My friend John Eisen just did the latest issue of Uncensored magazine, says, attack of the medical system. It is now the second leading cause of death in New Zealand.
Oh, really? Huh.
Right.
You got Fukushima. You got Fukushima right on the cover there.
Yeah. Fukushima.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the monster of the world right now, and hardly anybody's paying attention to that. Because we got everything else. We got the drama TV going on with Putin and Obama, and... What are we going to do? We just keep pushing the word out, and hopefully we get to people. That's all that's all I do.
Yeah. And like I say about the one in seven people, I mean, all you got to do is just play your part. You know, you'll say, look at that chemtrail. And the person will go, what? And then maybe, just maybe, a couple of other people will say the same thing to them on their way home. And then they'll be like, I'm not the only one who's been told this. I'm not the only one who thinks this. There's something going on. But ultimately, and this is what I was saying to one of my listeners last night, having a conversation at home here, I said, basically, you have to be traumatized by the system. You have to get raided by the cops, or you have to have your business taken down or something like that. You have to have officialdom. Actually, there's an old saying, how do you expose a fascist? You make them act like it.
Right.
And so one of them acts like it towards you, suddenly the fascism bubble has burst and you know what you're dealing with all of a sudden.
But, and it might
sound morbid, but I wish that every person in the world would be arrested and beaten up by the cops just once, you know, for absolutely no reason. And I can guarantee you, not a single one of them would continue their entire life as normal.
Well, I've avoided that, thank God. So I've avoided being beat up by the cops.
I mean, I wasn't beat up. I didn't need to be beaten up. But.
Yeah, it kind of sucks. They have those billy clubs and those tasers. You know, don't tase me, bro.
How many weapons does a cop need?
Well, they're all militarized now. I don't know how much you've paid attention to the terrorist attack in Boston, where or some people consider false flag, but regardless, where they just sent these militarized cops through people's homes looking for one dude, one guy they're looking for, and they covered the whole city. People with gunpoint in Humvees were all over. I get upset over that, as you can tell. So,
well, it's totally out of control, and the fact that people put up with it, it's like you understand that there's a lot of fear out there, you know, and it's justified, I believe, in a lot of ways. Cops are very scary people, okay? They lie. They push you around. They're big bullies. You know, they arrest you unlawfully. They give you tickets and so on and so forth. But now what's happening is a lot of people have just said, I've had enough. And they're finding ways to fight back. And sure enough, if you go searching on the internet, you will find templates of little things that you can send to your city council to get your parking tickets wiped or not pay your taxes or so on and so forth. All of these little methodologies, like in the free man movement, for example, are starting to come out. And I don't think that the system's very happy about that,
which is
why, incidentally, everybody that I know who has actually filed all their right of claim and so on and so forth in order to get out of the system is broke, virtually homeless, and harassed by the cops constantly. And they call that being free.
Well, you know, that if that's what it takes to be free, then that's what it takes to be free. You've got to do your part to stay, to get away from the system and fight them a little bit. Now, here in the U.S., the IRS, which is the strong arm of the government, it's almost impossible not to pay taxes anymore because they just come and take everything away. More than I've read about people who owe thousands of dollars. I mean, and I'm talking hundreds of thousands of dollars, and they didn't even make money for that, you know, income tax that they owe or the other taxes they might owe. Government just does what they want. What are you going to do? I try to make fun of it all. That's what I try to do. And that's what I do on my show is I'm trying to wake up the regular people, and I do it with comedy and all that because otherwise they don't get it if you're pushing it on them anymore. It scares them. Like you said early on, it scares them. So I try to do lighthearted stuff to try to just get them to think a little bit and go, oh, hey, let me go look that up.
Mm. See, I use the same methodology, but for the opposite purpose. I don't really feel that I'm waking people up, and I don't really feel that I have to. There's lots of people trying to. It's once you wake up and you get really freaking depressed and really freaking angry. Those are the people that I'm trying to reach out to with the comedy of this show, because, mate, waking up is so freaking traumatic. And if you don't have laughter to pull you through that darkness, I've seen it happen to a lot of people. Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week for your listening pleasure. Now, what I was saying before is before we got cut off by the break, I'm starting to get irritated with air breaks for some reason. Maybe I need a holiday. Okay, when you wake up, you get really angry and depressed, right? And I've seen this happen to a lot of truthers, is that they get angry and depressed because they're a slave and they're a victim of the system. And then they go and try and wake people up, and these other people aren't awake, and they're full-on slaves, they're full-on mind-controlled, they're full-on brainwashed, just like you used to be. And then you start, instead of seeing the bankers and the New World Order and the evil mind-control techniques and so on and so forth of the mainstream media as the enemy, you start seeing the people that you're trying to wake up who are victims of the system as the enemy. That is fracked up, man.
You
start calling them slaves and scum, and you start holding a pin on your fellow man, and you just fill yourself full of hate, and then you decide that it's not worth waking people up. There's a hell of a lot better idea just to sit around and do absolutely nothing and watch the world come to death around you and scumbaggery. And, you know, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, isn't it?
It is. And you get angry, and the only thing I can say is you have to get past that point to actually be able to wake people up. If you're, because nobody is going to take you yelling at them to get them to change. They're just not going to, they're not going to change if you're going, listen, dude, this is how it is. They're just not going to do it. You have to like break it to them softly and slowly. And honestly, I only know two people that I can even claim that I've even waken up, if you want to call it that. But hey, that to me, that's an accomplishment. Because if we each did one or two, we'd wake a whole bunch of people up, wouldn't we?
Yeah. It's like that movie, Pay It Forward.
Right.
You do one nice thing for three people, and that person does it. And sooner or later, you got the whole world waking up. And this is something that we were talking over the break, is that we don't know whether or not we're going to have some kind of a mass awakening. Based on that simple principle of you waking two people up and those two people waking two people up and so on and so forth, it's an infinitely expanding scale. A global awakening certainly is possible.
Yes. But in a global awakening, we have to stop as people wanting other people to
solve our problems.
Right. Right. It's individual responsibility and also knowing that the other individual has their own responsibilities and taking it to another level on that, I guess.
Well, I think it's like somebody says, oh, we need to solve the world's problems. Oh, the world's problems are too big for one man. And I'd say, well, you know, you're probably right. But, and we were having a conversation at a cafe the other day. I had like about half a dozen different activists who were all like really active in their own particular fields, editor of a magazine, leader of a political party, a member of a Positive Money, and a guy who's organizing a conference of experts and so on and so forth. And like, so we've got a lot of wisdom in the room. And we're having this conversation about masses, right, and whether or not it's possible to wake the masses up or so on and so forth and what everybody's responsibility is. And I said, you know what, we're actually doing it already, okay? I'm doing my job, you're doing your job, you're doing your job, you're doing your job. We're not organized, we're not together, yet we're all fighting for the same goal completely individually, and we're accomplishing it together, whether or not we're working together. Isn't that interesting?
It is.
That's the individuals kind of going at it, doing the job, and getting the frickin' job done without even needing anybody's permission, without even needing anybody's help, and automatically we win like that.
It's taking the initiative. That's the main thing. Going out there and just trying to share information, even if it doesn't work on everybody, just getting it out there, just planting seeds. Gets things rolling sometimes. And like I said, it's all about individual responsibility and taking your life into account and being responsible for all your actions and knowing that you can't force your stuff, whatever your beliefs are, whether you're Christian, whatever it might be, you can't force it on somebody else. Let them, everybody's kind of got their own truths in life. We just need to, it's all about not wanting to have power over another person. And I think that is the number one issue on the planet, is people wanting power over other people. Because then, well, control. That's what it turns into. I got to control everything. Everything's got to be my way. Oh, really? Well, I didn't know that. Thanks for telling me. I appreciate that, but I don't like your way. Your way kind of stinks, you know? But that's, hey, you go ahead and try that on me, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah. My way is Carlito's way.
Right. So what kind of coffee are you drinking there?
Just, you know, crappy instant with some filtered water and a little bit of coconut sugar.
Oh, that's good. Coconut sugar.
Yeah.
I've never had that.
Got anti-cancer properties, anti-AIDS properties, and so on and so forth. The coconut's quite an amazing food, really. And I also wanted to iterate, because what you were talking about there kind of like hit home for a moment. And what people forget is their own power, right? If you're sitting at home and you're doing nothing, then when somebody invites you out to a protest and you say, nah, it's not worth it, I'll never accomplish anything, and then you continue to sit at home doing nothing, what have you accomplished?
Not a damn thing.
Okay, so people are self-defeatist in that mode. They think that because they do nothing that they're accomplishing all and being all they can be. It's not freaking true. Why is that?
I don't know why. People... I think people are afraid in general of risk, because risk takes responsibility, and you may lose everything taking that risk. You might. And people are like their little comfort zones. And that's the way it is.
Why do people prioritize comfort? I mean, like, I know that being comfortable is good because, you know, your stress levels aren't up and so on and so forth. But when you're under stress, when you're having, like, real massive problems in your life, essentially the worst times of your life are often the source of the most valuable lessons and tools and skills that you will carry with you for the rest of your life after that bad time is over.
Right. You're right. You learn more lessons in the hard times than you do in the good times. That's for sure. The good times, you take a lot of things for granted. And when the hard times come, you can either curl up in a little ball and let it defeat you, or you face it and defeat it and learn from it. And bam, you're a better person in the end. You're a better person in the end.
LeBang. LeBang, and the dirt is gone. Because I do believe that people should actually, and I do this, actively seek out hard times, you know, actively try and challenge themselves, actively take on a project that they know that they can't win or anything like that. Try and be stressed out. Try and do all of these things. Understand, of course, that your goal is to simply be stronger, that your goal is to be a better and more skilled individual. And you know that you can't really get there without some trauma, and I really, really value the traumas in my life. I think about them all the time, you know, getting hard times with girlfriends, hard times with flatmates, friends betraying you, stuff stolen out of your house, and all of this kind of thing. Always teaches me, and I think this is why I keep revisiting all of these horrific times in my life and all these people that have messed me around, is because I haven't quite learned all of those lessons yet, and I'm seeking out to relive some of that harshness, some of that bad times, some of that real horrible sensations, so that I can actually learn something from them. Because when I'm sitting on my ass just doing the radio show and so on and so forth, and nobody's really challenging me, that's when I start to get weak, and I notice it and I realize it. It's like, wow, I haven't suffered in a couple of weeks or months or whatever. I'm starting to get too comfortable. God, please send me some suffering. Please send me some financial hardship or something like that. And that's the only time that I actually pray to God, is when I want something bad to happen to me. And my prayers are always answered. Always.
Well, I can't say I look for something bad to happen to me, but what I do is I'm always challenging myself to get to the next phase in my life, and I was brought up to always push yourself, so it's the same kind of concept, but instead of having the bad stuff always affecting me, I've always been pushing my limits, which, you know, pushing your limits, you don't have the safety net there, and then sometimes you fall. And that's where you start learning. And I don't know. My grandparents taught me a lot about that. And they came from Canada to here. And they came with nothing. And they started a business. And they thrived. And that's, I guess, the concept that I've always taken is you just got to don't be afraid of what might happen. Because once you achieve something, once you've beaten that fear, all of a sudden, man, you want to do the next big thing. And you want to keep going and keep going and keep going and fight. Next thing you know, you've knocked out 5-6 fears like that, you know.
It sounds like what my friend Penny Bright keeps telling me is you got to do one thing every day that scares you.
No, you do. Something that scares you, you know, play, you know, for some girls, it might be just touching a little spider, you know, that might scare them to death. Ooh, you know, of course I'm outside in the garden. So those things don't scare me, but, I push the limit every possible time I can, you know, you can't do it every day per se, because, you know, some days you're just worn out and we do have to take time to rejuvenate ourselves a little bit, recapture some energy, because you can't push yourself to the limit of destruction either.
Yeah, that's right. And not only do you need to have these hard times in order to teach you valuable lessons, but one of the valuable lessons that I've found is what my limits are.
Yeah. And you'll find over time you'll beat your limits once you know how to do it, because you can keep pounding this thing back and forth and not get there. And then one day you get some kind of epiphany and all of a sudden, boom, oh, why didn't I do this way before? And then boom, you whatever your that roadblock, whatever that goal was, you beat it.
Hmm. Like breakfast at Epiphany's.
There you go. The Cheerios. Do you guys have Cheerios out there? You probably do, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Your Cheerios of I'll forget it.
That was a fail, bro.
That's the best thing about doing radio. Sometimes you run into a wall yourself and go, what the heck was I talking about?
Oh, yeah. Well, I find what happens is you've got an idea in your head, but you don't know if the other person's quite going to get it. So you're trying to explain something of the idea before you actually finish getting it out. And that's when you trip yourself out because you forget what you were going to say because you're trying to explain what you were about to say.
I'm telling you. This is definitely one of the most exciting things I've ever done as far as just being on and talking to people and just expressing ideas. And isn't that life? What life's about is ideas and trying to reach new heights and new goals. And if you're not, then you're just wasting the whole time you're here. And we're only here once, man. We're only here once. I mean, I think. Yeah. I mean,
that's a belief structure. Maybe we are, maybe we aren't. But I think what overrides whether or not you've got multiple lives is living in the moment. Because if you're not making the best out of every single moment, you're wasting your fracking time, regardless of how many lives you get to live.
Right, exactly. And it doesn't matter where you go after, if you go off to this magical land somewhere and into the universe, or you just meld away back into the earth or whatever, you know, it doesn't matter. Your one time is here. Do what you can with the best you can right now. That's all that matters.
Yeah. I mean, you got resources. I mean, there are many people out there who don't even have arms or legs or something like that. And then there's people who have got everything, who choose to do nothing with their time. And I remember what my friend Freighter X was telling me. He used to live in a kind of a resort community. He was a bit of a beach bum. And when the rich kids would come into town with their big gold MasterCards that daddy gave them and stuff like that, they don't know how to drive a car. They don't know how to tie their own shoelaces. They don't know how to cook toast. They don't know anything. Everything in their entire life has been bought and given to them, you know. And as a direct result, they become completely dependent. And this is the true spirit, I think, of the American Revolution, gaining independence. Because if you're not independent, then you're in dependence.
Right. Aren't you? And that's where we're at now in the States, is we've become a dependent society. I think it was like 48 million people are receiving some kind of assistance food-wise in the country.
It was 100 million last I checked. It was like around about 25% of the population upwards.
Yeah, well, I was going to say at least almost half the population receives some form of government, either money or assistance, whether it's Social Security, whether it's whatever it might be. I mean, that's just making you dependent. And what kind of life is that? If that's taken away from you, you're screwed. Can I say that?
Yeah, that's right. And just like the baseball clubs need to win the dependent. We'll be right back after the break at the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. John LeBanc, it's French for explosion. We'll be right back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's our final segment of the first hour, and we'll have another hour after this. And then I'm going on 2 hours on somebody else's show, Stephen Hopkins, I think, or something like that. I forget. I forget. I think Stephen Hopkins was the guy who directed the Ghost in the Darkness. Probably had nothing to do with this. And my very special guest, pimp hat in hand.
Hey, baby, what's going on?
It's Joan LeBang.
Hey, what's happening?
I just wandered in during the break, and I saw you wearing your hat, and I was just like, I'll put on my hat too and just sit down. It'll be great. And I also like to have fun, you know. And it's the only rule that's actually on this show that's imposed on me by the network. You know, we have to have fun. And you know, that can actually be quite difficult sometimes, because sometimes you're feeling a bit grumpy or you know, you haven't had enough sleep or so on and so forth. Have you noticed how there's infinite amount of reasons to be unhappy and just as many reasons to be happy? And the key is what you focus on.
Well, there's all kinds of reasons to be unhappy out there, man. But, you know, you just got to focus on the good stuff, man. That's all you got to do. You know, you'd be unhappy about everything. You'd be unhappy because the dog went on the ground or something in the living room and you have to clean it up. But there's no reason to have that, man. Just be happy you didn't do it twice in the room. That's all.
If that makes sense.
Well, I was also... I think I heard it on TV or radio. I forget what it is, but whenever you feel like you got it hard, whenever you feel like you got it rough, whenever you feel like the chips are down and that life isn't worth living, just show yourself a picture of a starving African child.
Yeah, that'll do it. That'll do it for sure.
Suddenly, isn't it interesting how the suffering of others makes you feel better?
Right. Unless you're looking at National Geographics like we were kids and, you know, looking all, oh, wow, look at that. I've never seen boobs before. Wow. Hey. No. You guys do that out there? We used to do that when we were kids. That was the only way we saw boobs.
Yeah, my brother had a stack of National Geographics. I think he had like a whole bookshelf of them.
Really?
It's quite interesting, really. Nowadays, it's National Geoengineer.
Oh, right, because we need to geo-engineer the whole planet, terraform it. Why not? Maybe it's those lizard people coming from whatever planet they were talking about. I don't know. That's another one of those conspiracy things. I don't know. What are they?
The thing from planet
George
Terraform.
Bush is a lizard? What's that? I'm sorry, I missed that.
The thing from planet Terraform.
Oh, right. You know, George Bush and all that, they're all lizard people or something. I think I saw that somewhere. I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, see, even if they weren't actual lizard people, or even if they were, all right, it's still the same mentality, isn't it? It's the reptilian brain. There's no emotion. There's no. There's nothing but hate, malice, fight or flight, and deception, really. And that's just psychopathy to a T, isn't it?
That's the whole planet right now. Deception. I mean, it's hard to tell. I mean, is the truth not the hardest thing to find right now? Seriously, the truth is so hard to find because they just smash us with all this information, and unless you can pick and choose and find the like common ground in whatever they give us, and that's how I decide what's even close to the truth is I'll take all this information, any common things, I go, well, that's probably the closest thing to the truth, and everything else is political garbage or propaganda or something like that. So let me switch hats on you here, all right?
All right. Well, I find it does become difficult to discern truth from fiction because of the fact that there's so much fiction out there, and a lot of people who claim to be, you know, all for the truth and the truth movement or whatever still get sucked into it because they don't have the proper grammar to figure things out. And I don't believe I do either. I probably believe a lot of fallacious things at this point in time because, you know, it's like, let's say you take a closely guarded, personally held belief or something of that nature. Somebody comes up to you with evidence that proves that this thing that you've believed in, this thing that you've built your life on, is not true. And they've actually got real proof, real evidence to state their case. What happens then is you've got a choice. And this is the cool thing about being human, is we've got a choice. You can either get really effed off with that person for messing up your life plan, which was based on lies, or you can thank that person for sending you in a different direction of truth, despite the fact that you suddenly lose your life's purpose for a moment and you have to find a whole new one.
No, right. It takes a strong person to be able to make that change, because most people will fall back and just say, ah, you're full of whatever. You know, I'm not even going to believe it. No matter how hard that truth is smacking you in the face, they're going to go, you know, for whatever reason, I can't do it. No. But it takes a really strong and open-minded person, and that's, I think, what we lack in the world as well, is more open-mindedness about things. It takes a real strong person to be able to step out of their comfort zone and accept other facts.
You know what? I think the comfort zone in and of itself is the big lie.
Oh, sure. And that goes back to what we were talking about earlier. It's that comfort zone keeps you from pushing yourself, and it also keeps you from making yourself a better person. And from my point of view, life is all about making tomorrow better than it was today. And just if you're not trying to be a better person, what are you trying to be then? You'd be a jerk, or something.
Well, it occurs to me that whatever you're comfortable with, that's what's killing you.
And
you know?
You're one of these people, like, hey, what's going on?
I just believe what I want. I just believe what I want, and that's it. Didn't you know that? We're down here in Texas, man, and we're just going to believe in everything the Republicans say, and that's what we're going to do, and that's it, you know? We're just going to believe the Republicans. George Bush was the greatest president ever, you know, and Rick Perry, he's great, too. So, sorry.
Hey, you know, well, George Bush did bomb two less countries than Obama.
Yeah, well, you know, he didn't have drones. Because I think they were still in manufacturing production or something like that back then.
I thought that they were voting for him.
What's that?
I thought the drones were voting for him.
Maybe. Right? Actually, I think that's what happened for Obama, wasn't it? Obama. Yes, we can. Yes.
He gave us a phone. I love President Obama. He gave me a phone and free birth controls, and I'm just so happy to vote for President Obama.
That's Pepper, by the way.
Oh, drone strike.
What's that?
He's President Drone Strike at this point, isn't he? And apparently, by about 2021 or something like that, the U.S. military wants to have the majority of its military operations being done with robots. You know, drones, robotic soldiers, remote-controlled tanks, that kind of thing.
How cowardly is that to fight a war, by the way? Seriously, you can fight wars all day then, and here you go. We're just going to send you drones, and we're going to drop bombs on you. Like, that isn't cowardly. The whole military-industrial complex, Obama, the New World Order, we need to abolish those things. Get them out of here. See ya. Flush them down the toilet. Do we have a giant toilet to flush them down? Is there, you know?
Well, we've got lots of sinkholes.
See you later. What's that?
We've got lots of sinkholes.
Yeah, we got a big one in Louisiana. That thing's 44 acres wide or something like that. And one year went from 30 feet to 44 acres. It's crazy. It's huge.
It's actually big enough to swallow an aircraft carrier.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe Air Force One will take a landing in there. You know, will that get me in trouble? Yeah. I don't know.
Hopefully.
If I go off screen, then they probably drone me. So, you know.
Yeah. Well, we need to sign a petition or something. You know, throw the politicians into the Louisiana sinkhole petition, you know, at whitehouse.gov.
Oh, well, you know, what's funny is, what was it, about a year ago, they had the petitions where all the states were going to secede from the union, right? And it had like a 20,000 signature, and the White House would respond. Well,
a threshold, yeah.
Yeah. Well, they jacked that up to 100,000 or something like that. Oh. And they did, and they didn't respond to any of that. They said, Obama, let me be clear. All right. We're not going to respond to any of that.
You know what?
I can't imitate Obama very well. He's a tough guy to imitate, you know. He's real stiff. You ever notice?
No. What I've noticed is that the reason why he's stiff, I don't know if you've ever done an interview where you're sitting in the middle and you've got your interviewees on either side of you and you've got to constantly be looking to either side of you in order to kind of converse with them. Well, I think and you get a real stiff neck from that. It's happened to me a couple of times. I think that's the reason why Obama's so stiff is because he's got a teleprompter on one side and a teleprompter on the other side. He never makes eye contact with the audience or anything like that. It's just teleprompter this, teleprompter that. It's the Barack Obama, you know, and you can buy them for your cars. You know, you just sit there and his head bobbles from side to side with the teleprompters. And the toys are made in Kenya. You can they're available at the Vinnie Eastwood Show .com/humor page .html there. If you just Google Vinnie Eastwood humor, there's just shockingly large amounts of pictures on there. There's stuff that we've done making fun of the Prime Minister John Key and making fun of Obama. Look, if you can't make fun of people who are killing you, what the frick are you living for?
I mean, well, you got Lurch as the Secretary of State, and then Syria.
Is this John Kerry?
Well, John Kerry. I mean, Lurch. Doesn't he look like Lurch from the Adams Family?
It didn't occur to me until you said it. He got everything but the bolts in his neck.
Right.
We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, at the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com.